Our text today, I want to turn to the book of Isaiah in chapter 6. Our theme, everybody shout it, the King. Can somebody shout it, the King? Praise the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above his two seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the doorway, were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongue from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go, tell this people." I stopped there. Praise the Lord. And he said, "Go, tell this people." Turn to your neighbor, say, "And he said, go." All right, leave it there. Praise the Lord. You know, I've studied quite a bit to be able to bring this message. But a lot of times after doing that, when I get on stage, the Holy Ghost takes his direction. And the good thing about it is, it's always a better direction. The same thing is happening again today. King Uzziah, you know, was a successful king, I'm sure you know. And no matter what about him, he impressed this man. And this man was a prophet of God. Uzziah was a good king. There were bad and good kings. Come on. Hello? So for Uzziah to die, it was a little baffling and disturbing to this man. But I want you to understand that Isaiah this time was already a prophet. Then he gave this narrative. He said, in the year that Uzziah died, maybe that's just for us to know the time it happened, or probably he was still carrying this thought so strongly in his heart. But it was in that year that King Uzziah died. So I went to the temple, as usual. If you were a Jew, a devoted Jew, in fact, you don't need to be devoted. Every Jew will go to the temple certain times. At least you pray three times a day, okay? And then you go for prayers, you know, if you are devoted, you know. And being a prophet, so it was something that he did all the time. But this time was slightly different. Something was going to happen. And so he came as usual, and he knelt by the altar. And as he began to pray and to worship, suddenly he was translated. He had been the servant of the Most High God before now. He had been a prophet. Come on, church. But that day, he saw his master. Something happened. Knowledge increased. Understanding changed. He came in contact with the King. Initially, when I was being directed to read this, I was wondering, I will have to explain, you know, with the throne. You don't need to do any explanation. Just read and leave it to them. If that's all I do, and I say go home, the Holy Ghost will do the rest. He said, as I ministered to the Lord, then I saw, let me use this word, in the name of Jesus, someone is in for an encounter. I saw the Lord. I recognized him as my Lord. But the strange thing about him was he was sitting on a throne, and his train filled the temple. But it was an empty temple when I came in. But when I saw him, he was high and lifted up. And he was sitting upon the throne. And his train, what do you call that thing that goes? The train, it's just the train. Filled the entire temple. He was high and lifted up. And his glory fills the temple. He was high and lifted up. And his strength filled the temple. And the angels cried, holy.
The angels cried
softly. The angels cry,
holy is the Lord.
I'm his servant, but I'm discovering him today like I've never done. I saw seraphims all around, and they were all six-winged. They covered their feet. They covered their face. You don't behold the one of them. You don't behold him too much. You are gone. So they covered their faces. And with two, they flew around. And one will look at the other and say, holy, holy, holy. That one will reply, holy, holy. And that one will reply. The whole thing was strange. So then, I knew that I was in the presence of the King of the whole earth. And I said to me, hey, my eyes have seen the King. I am undone. You know what that means? I am destroyed. Ordinary man don't just see him and leave. But now I've seen him. But then, while I was still lamenting, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among unclean people. What you say and the company you keep will determine how far you end and how far you go. I'm a man of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he took from the tongue of the altar. He touched my mouth with it and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sins purged. Then I heard the voice of the Lord sitting on the throne saying, whom shall I send? Then I said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send. Here.
Send me
as the Lord needs someone. Here am I.
Here am I.
Then he said to me, go. But my discovery here, I'm talking like Isaiah now. There is a King over the whole earth. He's awesomely holy. He rules the earth from his seat of authority. Nothing moves him. He moves everything. I'm in the business of the King. I am making a discovery right now. From that day, gentlemen, the life of Isaiah changed. Let me tell you what I want to establish. I will establish in a very short time and we'll close. It's about the King. Everything in life is about the King. And very few people get to realize that. You know what David says? He's the King over all the earth. His dominion controls everything. And I realize that even his relationship with us is about kingship. Will democracy end the age from Bible stories? Do you think democracy will close, will be the ultimate thing? But it is good for now. It is needed for now. It defines the moment. But from the beginning, there has always been a King. And to close the age, guess what? The King will appear. Pastor, you're not being practical. God will help me to be, because I'm going to be very, very practical. This call is about being practical. But you see, this man discovered. Then I look through in Isaiah chapter 9, just some few pages down, verse 3. He was prophesying now. Guess what he said? He said, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Even his style of delivery has changed. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Okay. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isaiah has understood something. He has discovered something. He went on further. If you go to chapter 11, he was still prophesying. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, The spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God, of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of God, and he shall not judge by the seeing of, or by the sight of eye of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall what? Judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Let me stop there. Again, he's stressing something. Isaiah is telling us something again. He said, look, this man that is coming, he said, the words of his mouth will do the job. Simple. So I looked at this and I said, okay, fine. If that be the case, can I go back to the beginning? Then the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. And chapter two, verse 2, the earth was what? With and darkness covered. And the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, talk to me. Over the what? The deep and the darkness. And then God said, let there. God did what? Come on, talk to me. Talk to me. No, the king that rules over the whole earth said, let there be light. And there was what? And then the rest of the story we know. We don't need to go through that. And there was nothing created that was not spoken through. Come on, talk to me. So this king had a method. And no wonder that what was touched was what? His lips. I believe God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, beginning from tonight, something will begin to turn around for you in the name of Jesus. And so God deals in kings. And I was sitting there and saying, how do I link this with Jesus? He said, you want to see? Isaiah discovered. He said, let me show you what John discovered in John chapter 5. Let's just quickly turn there so that will help me get there quickly. So Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Can you link the throne and the throne back? I saw in the right hand of him who sat upon the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seal? And no one in heaven, on earth, under the earth, was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, he said, do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open his seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations, and have made us kings and priests to our gods, and we shall reign. Come on, help me somebody. And we shall what? Reign on the earth. Now please give me attention quickly. It's going to be a short message. See, Isaiah discovered that governing this earth was one on the throne, high and lofty, impossible to look at, but it was a discovery for him. Now John says the one that sits on the throne, when he had the privilege of seeing him, he said he had something in his hand, and he was calling for who will ever be able, bold enough to take the scroll, and no one could take the scroll. He said where he was, he just thought now man was damned. He said why I was crying, one of the angels tapped on me. He said no, stop crying. He said the lion of the tribe of Judah has taken the scroll. Said, so I opened my eyes to behold the lion. Said, but behold, what did I see? A wounded lamb. And I understand what the Bible says. He said, I send you out as lambs among wolves. That doesn't mean that you are weak. That's divine strategy. That's a war strategy. The lion of the tribe of Judah has taken the scroll, and the deliverance of man is about to be concluded. And when I opened to see the lion, I saw a wounded lamb. And I saw all the elders and the beasts and everybody bowing down before the lamb, and they started to sing and they started to give worship, and they began to sing. Master Brule Kishkanda Brule Bakasada. There's something I want to cling there. Yes. Say, for you were slain and have redeemed us to our God, and from every tribe and tongue, people and nation, and you have made us kings. And so, see, the duty of this lamb was simple. He that took it was the one that manifested on earth. He became God's incarnate. Come on, church, is somebody here with me? See, it was something that had happened, but something that was now beginning to, well, happen and was still happening and will still happen, as it were. John has seen Jesus on earth, and John has seen him slain, and has seen him buried, and has seen him resurrected, and has seen him ascended, and has seen him send the Holy... Come on, church, are you here with me? And John was now in the spirit, and John was being told that, see, this lamb is the one that has redeemed us to our God. And he has made us what? Come on, talk to me. I can hear you. Kings and what? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Kings and priests. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By the time you read further, you get to a place where it is declared. In fact, in 1 Timothy, he said he is the King of Kings. I heard Pastor Chris Okotie preach it many years ago. He said, why do you say King of Kings? He said, he's not the King of the kings of the earth. We are the kings. Which is what is established here, clearly. We are the kings. That's what I want to establish. It does not matter where you are born. It does not matter the opportunities that you have missed in your life. It is what you have come to discover about yourself. Isaiah made a discovery. And much, much later, we see John in a discovery. And where they are leading to is that this king that reigns over the whole earth deals in kingship. He deals in the kingship strategy. Leave that where it is. Let me go back to Genesis 1. By the time we were created, what did he say in 1:26? He said, let us do what? Come on, help me. Let us do what? How? How? In an image after our likeness, and let them have. Let them have what? I can't hear you. Let them have what? If you look at other translations, the Bible says, let them reign as kings on earth. So even as far as creation was concerned, so when he will create, he didn't create anything less than a king. When he will redeem, he redeemed you as a king. However, somebody said, your day of salvation was your coronation day. I just want you to understand the concept. So when the choir was saying there is a king in you, it looks like a cliche. It's not. You were created a king. But you see, in the Garden of Eden, this king sold out his right. This king became a servant for the first time. Kenyon said, this king got born again. Only the born again was not born again into the kingdom, was born again away from the kingdom. The first major conversion and conviction and conversion that ever happened to man happened in the Garden of Eden, and it was negative. Before then, it was the king, he was in control. The lion would dare not lift his eyes to look at him. Who are you? But now the mosquito will kill him if he's not careful. And so I've been made to believe by my experiences in life that I have a limit. But you see, my limit is not that defined. If I really come to know who I am, it's not defined that physically. My limit is Jesus Christ. Everything revolves around him. Let me just give you one little example again before I veer off. He thought he was right. He was very religious. He was doing very well. He was persecuting the church, killing and maiming Christians, throwing them into prisons. He was well read. He was he was a lawyer. He was a politician. He was a statesman. He was a Roman citizen. He was a rabbi. He was anything you can think of. He was well read and thought he was correct. But on the way to Damascus, his eyes saw the king. And everything about his life changed. No man will see the king and remain the same. My prayer tonight in the name of Jesus is, look, in your Christianity, in your pursuits in life, may you locate the King of Glory. The problem is doing it. And Abraham departed. Thank God he departed. Otherwise, he will never be here today. And I know that somebody is departing here today. Somebody is going to put these things into practice. And that's why I'm certain in the name of Yahshua, miracles are happening already. In the name of Jesus. So what I was saying is this, find a time. Dedicate a time. And if possible, a place at this time. Morning by morning, new mercy. Every day, provoke his mercies. In the name of Jesus, keep your eyes on him. Don't fizzle with your surrounding. Too many bad news and bad things. But you are the light of the world. Is somebody hearing me? The king in me is connecting with the king in you right now. It may be drought all around. It may be tales of wars all around. But Isaac will sow in the land. And Isaac will reap a hundredfold in the land. And Isaac will be blessed in the name of Jesus. And Isaac will become great. And will continue to be great in spite of the drought, in spite of the failures. And Isaac will become very great. I'm speaking to somebody here today. Your case is different. I say the king in you is about to roar into action. In the name of Jesus, it is well with you.